Welcome to The James Rice Show, a humorous, entertaining, and sometimes thought-provoking look at teaching and studying abroad. Join the conversation as James guides you through his experiences and provides insights into how to improve your English and how to improve your teaching of English. And now, here's the man you've been waiting for, James Rice.
Hello, everyone. This is Anish Deya from On the Spot Language, and I have the fortunate opportunity to be hosting today for the James Rice Show. Everybody, yay! Wait. Who's clapping? I guess we have some other people here with me. We have On the Spot Language coach Luke Hobbs.
Hey, guys. Happy to be here.
And we have two of our On the Spotters, Miho and Nami.
Hi, everyone.
All right, and this is exciting. So we're going to be talking about a few things today, but before we start, I'd like to let you guys know that James is not available this week as he is taking care of his mother, who not only fell and broke her hip, but also has her diamond anniversary this week, which means it's her 60th wedding anniversary. So his hands are full, and he asked me to jump in and guest host the show. So let's get into it. Today, we're going to talk about several topics. One important thing that means a lot to both Luke and I is we're going to talk about what it means to be a language coach as opposed to a traditional classroom-based language teacher. Looking forward to that, Luke.
Yeah.
Should be a good time. And then two of our on-the-spotters, Miho and Nami, will be introducing some idioms of the week. Yay!
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're a little bit dreading it because we're putting them
on the spot.
And they're going to be having to make some sentences and kind of explain what some of these idioms mean to you guys. And they'll also be sharing some tips on language learning and kind of some of their challenges throughout their time in on-the-spot language and just being here in Toronto, Canada, studying English. So let's get into it. Looking forward to this, ladies?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get into this. Okay, and we're back. Luke and I here are going to talk a little bit about something that a lot of people kind of ask us with on-the-spot language is like, you guys are language coaches, so what's a language coach? And what exactly do you guys do, or what's the difference between a language coach and a teacher? So Luke and I are going to get into a little bit about that. Everything from, you know, keeping our on-the-spotters engaged, motivated, making them feel valued, you know, getting them to become independent, lifelong language learners, you know, coaching them and giving them constant correction. Let's see, what else?
Giving them the tools, as a coach would, giving them the tools to learn the language on their own and to feel comfortable, because we know, as a language learner, it can be really scary to start talking to people, you know, like Canadians or Torontonians, despite how nice we know we are. For someone who doesn't speak English, we recognize that it can be really difficult, so we're there to support and to provide those tools.
Right, and just being able to have the ability to adapt to the, you know, our students is really important. Something that we strongly believe in, which is, you know, we don't have a textbook. We don't have any grammar books. So that's a big thing as well. Yeah. And a big thing we'll talk about is motivation, having empathy, you know.
Absolutely.
Super important. And just overall, you know, active learning, which is the whole basis of the program. We're out on the streets of Toronto talking to strangers all day. So we'll get into some of these points. So what would you say we talk about first? What about motivation?
Motivation's a good one. I think that that it really goes a long way as a language coach. Just as if you are a tennis coach, which Anish
indeed,
used
I used to
be,
teach,
right?
I used to be a tennis
it's,
coach.
It's,
yeah.
If you're going
to
be a coach about language learning, it obviously helps if you're a language learner yourself. As I understand, Anish, you've been to Taiwan. You spent some years there.
Yeah, learned some Mandarin there, and I know you also speak some Japanese.
Yeah, So despite the fact that we're Canadians through and through, we do speak other languages, and we love learning languages. And I think that goes a long way, because we understand the value of learning a language and exchanging thought. And that all goes back to motivation, I think. Why are our students here? So I think on that note, we should say that we work in small groups in our classes.
We have a maximum of, 3 students per class, always. For the past 9 years, we've kind of maintained that, where I know a lot of other schools out there have 15, 16 students in a class, so I'm not sure really how they're able to deliver kind of service or really...
I guess when you have that many, it's just much more challenging for a teacher to be able to get all the students that I know that they want to be able to do. So for us, from the get-go, we have really small groups, and that allows us to know our students very deeply, intimately, in terms of what their goals are and where they're coming from, and what really they want to get out of learning English. Some people... they just want to learn English in general. They want to connect with ideas and people. Other people, they actually want to move here. They want to live here. They want to use the skills that they had in their field in Japan, and they want to bring it here or wherever they're from. Maybe they're from Korea. And bring those skills here and see if they can, at least while they're here, connect with people in that industry.
Absolutely. Great points. What about you? How do you feel about the fact that, because we only have 3 students, and the way our curriculum is designed in this intensive 8-week program, it's very tailor-made for our students.
Absolutely.
What would you say about that?
Yeah, I think that over the many years of Anish developing the program, he and I have kind of, especially Anish, has come to kind of develop a curriculum of what we believe to be really important sentences, survival sentences that almost anyone can learn in any language. But at the same token, with 3 students in a class, it's also about how would they want to say it in the situations they find themselves in.
Absolutely. I mean, we call them focus sentences. Dun, 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 dun. Both Miho and Nami are laughing right now. You know a lot of focus sentences, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? How many would you say you know? 2 or 3?
Too many to count.
Good answer. Good answer. Yes. So they do know a lot of focus sentences, and I think that's key, because a lot of the focus sentences that we do teach them are very tailored, customized for them.
Right. So we have our core sentences, and for those of you who don't know, a focus sentence is, despite all of the things that we talked about in our adventures in the city. In those couple hours that we engage with them, they choose every day 2 sentences that they want to focus on and that are the most useful for them, because utility and being useful is at the very crux of what we do.
And I think that's a good point with the program is, you know, I know a lot of teachers in schools, and I used to belong to a language school as well, and, you know, they're learning 5-6 hours a day, and I don't know what they're learning or how much they're even remembering from what they're learning. And so when you're just responsible for learning 2 focus sentences every day and learn those perfectly in the right context, I think that's so amazing. I think that's especially like, you know, I remember when I went to Okinawa last year.
Yep.
I'm going to put myself on the spot here now. And, I learned one of the focus sentences while I was in Okinawa was, この中で一番好きな食べ物は何ですか?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? How was that? Was that good?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Okay, it means kind of, you know, in this area, whatever's going on around here, what's good to get here in terms of food, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, actually, I take that back. That wasn't in Okinawa. That was in Ueno Park.
Right.
And I was in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And there was a big food festival going on there.
Uh-huh.
But when I was in Okinawa, another focus sentence I did learn, though,
uh-huh.
That when I wasn't in Tokyo, I was in Okinawa, I said,
okay.
Ichiban chikai wa doko desu ka?
Oh, yeah.
Which means, where would I find the nearest?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, right? So
yeah.
If I said,
mm-hmm.
Ichiban chikai beach wa doko desu ka? How would you say that in English?
Where is the nearest beach?
Or
from here, where would I find the nearest beach?
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah.
Nice.
Where would I find the nearest beach?
Is it one around here?
No, not is it. Is there one around here?
Yeah,
is there one around here? Yeah, where would I find the nearest beach? Is there one around here? Sumimasen, ichiban chikai beach wa doko desu ka? And he's like, oh, so I just used that sentence. And actually, I don't speak any Japanese, but I learned that focus sentence, and I asked, and I found many great beaches in Okinawa.
Yeah.
It was useful,
so
but
yeah.
I was there last year, but that stuck in my head because I just followed the OSL methodology, and it's kind of stuck with me. So,
so the very crux of that is, again, going back to if you don't use it, then you
lose it.
And I think what happens to a lot of language learners, if they go to classroom for a really long period of time, the question is, what did you actually learn that you can use? Because you learned a lot of really great information, maybe about grammar, or you learned a lot of sentences, but if you don't specifically know how to use it, then you're going to lose it.
Absolutely.
And so we kind of actually do the opposite here at On the Spot Language. We only learn useful sentences, and sometimes we make a joke and say, I just said that sentence, and I know you're curious about it, but this one's not that useful, at least I don't think, but you're welcome to learn it anyway, but we don't think it's that useful if ever they come up, right? Like funny little jokes. Yeah.
And another big thing, you know, as you mentioned, I have a background in tennis coaching, so I love the outdoors, and there's something really powerful to active learning. When your blood is moving, the blood's circulating, you know, you're outside and you're talking and you're getting corrected. You're not, when you're sitting down, I feel like your brain's kind of, what? Your brain's kind of falling asleep, right? Do you remember when you were in your previous school? Did you feel kind of, how did you feel when you were sitting down learning?
Sleepy. Just sleepy. Sometimes I was almost, fall asleep.
Yeah, you fell asleep. Right.
Especially in the morning.
In the morning, yeah. So that's where we like to get our...
pick me up.
A morning pick me up. We get our coffee morning pick me up, as we do with our cafe sentences. But active learning, when you're outside and you're moving, you know, not only is it healthy, but it's just good for your brain.
Yeah.
And it's easier to grasp and learn when you're on the go.
And thus, literally in context, right?
Actual situation.
We're not just outside learning English and then going home. We're outside because we're about to launch into the public. After we do some intense training, we go right out and we use it on the spot.
Absolutely. So active learning is a big thing. Last thing we'll talk about maybe is a little bit about empathy. Do you guys know what empathy means?
What exactly does that mean?
Good question. What exactly does that mean?
Great question.
Why don't you go ahead, Luke? Why don't you?
It kind of goes back to the beginning of this segment when we talked about coaches being language learners themselves. I think that... we have an empathy for our students because we know when they're like, oh God, oh my, you know, it's we put them on the spot and we know what they're going through. We know as fellow language learners how challenging it can be. And we try to be sensitive to, for example, the two students we have with us today are both from Japan. It may not be normal in Japan to approach people on the street. So we know that, and right? Isn't it? It's very different than how it is here.
Yeah, it's really difficult.
Would you do this in Japan?
No, definitely no.
And maybe if we approached you in Japan, would you help us? Now you would.
I would.
But before taking this program, maybe if you were in Japan, maybe you wouldn't.
It's hard. I don't know, we often get, nervous or kind of scared of English, so maybe we'll say, I'm sorry,
yeah,
English, no, right?
That's actually kind of good to know for everyone, whoever wants to travel to Japan, or maybe other countries too, that they may not be, you know, cold or anything. It's just that in the case of Japan, they just they
scared
don't want
to use their English.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I think now, because you guys have taken this program, because so many people have helped you here,
a lot, yes.
How are you going to feel when you go back? If someone has a map, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I would love to help them.
Love to help them, sure.
Yeah.
What would you say? Do you need a hand, or where are you trying to get to? Or,
yeah.
I don't
know.
You want me to help you?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you would be more helpful than you were before now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is good.
Completely.
Great. Yeah, so, I mean, we could probably talk about this topic of what it is to be a language coach and empathy and several other topics regarding what it means to be a language coach for probably hours. But maybe we'll leave that for another episode, or James can have us back on the show and we can talk a little bit more about that. So thank you, ladies, for talking about that. Luke, it was a lot of fun talking about what it means to be a language coach.
The Study It textbooks are the first ever completely digital and interactive English as a Second Language textbook series. Once downloaded, these textbooks do not require a Wi-Fi connection. Students and teachers can use them anywhere, anytime. Used in over 40 schools, universities, and NGOs worldwide. Study It is the future of English teaching. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
Okay, so this is the part of the show that I'm really excited to announce, which is the top listeners of the week. So let's look at the top 5 countries. All right, on the James Rice Show, we have number 1, Brazil has jumped into first place. Obrigado. Nice. USA is in the second place. In second place, Mexico falls to third place. Oh no. Que paso.
Gracias.
Que pedo. I don't know. Yeah. And Vietnam. Wow, Vietnam. Welcome, Vietnam. That's amazing.
That's
good
awesome.
To have you guys joining James and the James Rice Show and ourselves today.
Yep.
So thank you all the listeners from all around the world to tune in every week to the James Rice Show.
It's time for James's Idiom of the Week.
Both Miho and Nami here are going to introduce some idioms to you listeners out there using the word back. Yeah, so what idiom do we have first?
Let's get back on track.
Let's get back on track. Okay, so what exactly does that mean, or do you want to give an example first? Let's go.
When someone was talking about one thing, and then other person talk about different thing.
Yeah, or different topic, yeah.
Yeah. And then someone says, okay, let's get back on track.
So another person says... Let's get back on track. So what's an example? Why don't you girls give an example?
Example?
Yeah. All right. So...
So for example?
Maybe you're talking about... maybe you guys are talking about shopping.
Shopping?
Oh, this is great. This is a great store. You should go here, go buy some things. And then suddenly she goes, oh yeah, by the way...
Did you see the TV show?
Yeah, did you see a TV show about...
Music?
Music. Oh, yeah, that new song, right. It's supposed to be amazing. And wait a minute. Huh? What?
Uh-huh.
We talk about this for like 5 minutes, and then we say,
You know Nami? Let's get back on track.
And talk about...
Shopping.
Okay, yeah, good. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool, good one. Okay, so let's get back on track. Very useful, even if you're in a meeting. And you guys are talking about something and someone says, oh, how was your weekend? Then suddenly, oh, let's get back on track and continue talking about what we're supposed to talk about in the meeting.
Yeah, and
okay.
The person who went off track, as they say, can always say to themselves and say, oh, sorry, I was talking about something completely unrelated. Let's get back on track.
Yeah. So it's easy to go off track because we went off track.
Yeah.
So let's get back on track.
Yes, let's
go.
Get back to what we were
What's
talking.
Another idiom using back here?
How about let me get back to you on that?
Let me get back to you on that. Okay, what's an example?
For example, hey Nami, I'm gonna hold a barbecue party this weekend. Do you wanna join us?
I would love to, but let me check my schedule first.
I'll get back to you on that.
Perfect.
Perfect. Yeah, that works for me. Yeah. Yeah, if you invite somebody to something and you're like, I'm not sure, I'm busy, let me get back to you on that. Great. Okay. Yeah. Good one. What's another one with back?
What about hold up? Yeah. Sorry. Don't hold back.
Don't hold back. Good one. Yeah. Yeah. So how would you use this, or what does it mean?
Like, be honest. Don't hide your
feelings.
Yeah. Tell me anything. Feel free to tell anything you thought, you felt.
So who would use this kind of sentence? In which situation would you use this?
Friends or coworkers.
Yeah, what's a situation with a friend that you would say, hey, don't hold back? I think, what about, like, if you just broke up with your boyfriend? Something like that. Well, what happened? You're just crying and crying and crying. What happened? What happened, Nami? Don't hold back. Just tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what about that situation, yeah?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
What about as a teacher? You're a kindergarten teacher back in Japan, Nami.
Yeah.
Could you possibly say this to a student if they're shy about what they're trying to explain?
Yeah. Some kids are hard to speak it out.
It's difficult for them to speak their thoughts or opinions, yeah?
Yeah. So, yeah, we can help them, and yeah, we can say, don't hold back, tell me anything you want.
Yeah, don't hold back, great.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this sentence we used in our class, right, with one of our students doing surveys about how people think about Japanese people. And, you know, of course, if you ask someone, you know, I am from Japan, how do you think about Japanese people? They might say, well, actually... they might have something that, you know, they are worried to say because it's a Japanese person. So our student said, you know, and don't hold back. Please tell me anything and everything that you think about Japanese people. I really just want to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, what's another idiom with back?
How about fall back?
Fall back. Ooh, yeah, fall back. That's a video game, I'm not sure. Fallback. Okay, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Over my head.
Went over my head. Good, yeah.
Over my head.
It's another episode. But yeah, fallback. So what can you fall back on or fall back on? What?
What? It's kind of always second choice.
Second choice.
Second choice.
Or like
a
plan B?
Plan B. Option.
Kind of thing. Another option. Okay. For example.
What is on for? Yeah. So, I'm going to use the same situation that I said before.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to have a barbecue party this weekend, but it might rain this weekend. So, in that case, I can fall back to the
original plan?
Original plan?
Yeah, you fall back on your original plan, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That'd be a good fallback, right? That would be
fallback
a good fallback
plan. Sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to rain on the island, Toronto Island, so let's go with our fallback plan and go to the Eaton Center and go shopping instead. Or go back to Miho's house and have a party.
My
fallback plan. If you have a good barbecue there, maybe you could do some barbecue, and I don't know.
Yeah, so we want to go to the weekend. We want to go to, for example, Toronto Island this weekend for a barbecue, but it might rain. So if it does rain, as a fallback, we can always go to my house. So don't worry about the rain. There's going to be a barbecue, rain or shine.
Great.
All right.
And these are the idioms of the week with our on-the-spot language on-the-spotters. Thank you, Nami and Miho.
Thank you.
And in classic on-the-spot language style, please go out and use these sentences. It is the best way to remember them.
Fantastic. All right.
Don't forget to follow James on Instagram at ConnectWithJames for fun photos and updates on future episodes.
And we're back. And now we're excited to talk about one of our main topics here today, which is some challenges with international students when they go abroad and study English. Unfortunately, as part of their last week in On the Spot Language, we do have, as you guys already know, Nami
mm-hmm.
and Miho here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be putting them a little bit on the spot, which is great. And talk about maybe some of their challenges that they've had, you know, prior to joining the program, and maybe how they've overcome some of those challenges and go from there. So we'll talk about some challenges and maybe some tips for everybody out there.
And also, please, we'd like to ask the first question, which is, can you guys share your experiences as an international student studying English in Toronto, and specifically before you joined On the Spot Language? What was it like learning English, and anything else you want to share?
Who wants to go first? Nami?
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, back in Japan, I used to work as an international kindergarten in Japan, but I left the job because my English is not good enough yet, and then now I'm taking this program to improve my English.
Mm-hmm.
And before I joined OSL, I find it really difficult to talk to people, especially to open up to them.
Mm-hmm.
Right, opening up can be really, really tough. So what did you realize?
When I realized I had to make a chance, and now I'm pushing myself every day to get out and use natural English with people in town, sorry.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And do you still find yourself to be shy or no?
Even though I'm still a little shy, I don't feel stressed that much when I approach people on the street, and when I do speak with them, I've learned this, that it is always better to ask them directly if I don't understand.
Yeah, clarification
is
so important.
Maybe you even had this kind of experience. A lot of our students told us this, right? When they don't speak English, what do they typically do? When they don't understand what someone says,
they go, "What? Huh? Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh," mm-hmm. they go, "Yeah, right.
What did you do before?
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Mm.
Okay. And
okay.
smile.
Okay.
Yeah.
And smile, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But now you could say, "I'm sorry.
Could you say that again?"
Really?
Yeah. Or exactly.
What exactly does that mean?
Right. So what do you think, what would be a piece of advice or a tip or that you could give?
I've heard many times that the best way to learn a language is to speak as much as you can. But now I can officially say that I truly understand that, what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's great. Huh.
So you'd say that the most important thing is to really use English
mm-hmm.
as much as you can. That's great.
Right.
And Miho, would you like to talk about your experiences as a language learner?
I
guess you would say, are you similar to Nami? Like you would say, I'm shy.
Yeah, sure. Talk a little bit about myself.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I've now been in Canada for roughly a year, and in Toronto for just under 2 months. But for the past 4 years back in Japan, I was a clinical pharmacist at a hospital, but I decided to come to Canada to gain international experience working in the pharmacy field. And I'd like to get a job working in the pharmacy field, but I feel like my English is not enough to provide like to provide a good service for customers. So I decided to take this program to improve my English communication skills.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So did you? You always told me that you before joining, you always you thought a lot.
Yeah.
Right. What do you mean by that?
I generally tend to think a lot before speaking, and I wasn't sure if what I was saying was correct.
Right. So how did this make you feel then?
So this always made it awkward because, like in a conversation, it would be difficult to find the right timing because I went thinking too much.
Right.
And couldn't jump into our conversation.
Right. Timing and just being able to jump into a conversation seems to be such a big challenge.
Right.
Especially to Japanese.
Especially with Japanese
yeah.
students,
right?
Yeah. Sumimasen. And so for you, thank you. Yeah. How would you say you overcame this challenge while you were in the program?
I really like the idea of having and practicing specific and useful focus sentences that I could repeatedly use.
Right, focus sentences, yes.
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 Yeah. I think this was great because when I was asked questions, I no longer needed to think too much or translate in my head.
Yeah, I think a lot of students are always translating in their head, right, as they're talking, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, well, you didn't have to think about translating. What did you do? You just...
Oh, I simply use my focus sentences which would naturally flow out of my mouth.
Right, right, right. And that's great. There was an analogy you gave me before that was really, really, really good. Do you remember what that analogy was?
Analogy?
Yeah, in terms of learning all of those focus sentences.
You guys, I guess, was it like an example?
Yeah, it was something about an analogy. Do you remember what that was? It's something about, it was great. I really liked how you said that. In terms of focus sentences.
Okay. Or thinking of it like having many bullets in your gun.
Bullets, right?
Bullets
right.
in your gun. And being able to fire them randomly whenever you want. And always being able to hit your target.
Right. So what exactly does that mean in terms of like... a focus sentence. So you learned many?
Yeah, I learned many. I would say that my biggest takeaway would be that I can now take over 100 useful and perfect English sentences, and I also have the ability to mix and use them interchangeably when having a conversation with someone.
Right. I think that's important, Luke. Even
Absolutely.
Just in language learning, when you learn so many of these useful phrases and sentences, but then you kind of, you're able to kind of take little bits and pieces and just, boom, put them together like a puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Did you have a similar experience with that?
What?
With being able to just, you didn't realize that, you know, suddenly the sentence just pops into your head and you're able to just say it and it comes up.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's always useful when you learn English to think about how the sentence can be changed depending on the situation as well, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For example... your mind, would you be able to help me, or would you be able to give me an example, or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
There was something else I think Miho really did really well this month, and you were talking about the power of networking.
Oh, yes.
You know, when you're sitting down in a traditional classroom, you're great, you're meeting lots of international students, but you know, you're a professional pharmacist, Miho, and Nam, you're an educator back in Japan, and you know, you're meeting, talking with people in the education field here. So what would you have to say about, you know, networking and how that's impacted your time in On the Spot Language?
I think during this program, I learned the power and importance of networking.
Right.
So,
actually, we actually helped you make a LinkedIn account.
Yeah,
not that
exactly.
I'm plugging LinkedIn, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how did this help you?
It helped me connect with many people, especially I'm interested in meeting others in the pharmacy field.
Okay, so wow, LinkedIn, great. So what kind of connections have you made then so far?
I've now interviewed and have met several pharmacists and people in the medical field. I think so far I interviewed roughly 10 pharmacists.
10 pharmacists.
Great.
Yeah.
This is like in the last 4 weeks. She's gone. Where have you gone? You've gone to like Shoppers Drug Mart.
Yeah, Lexer.
Rexall.
And I also visited the Cancer Research Center.
Right, the Princess Margaret Cancer Research Center, yeah, next to the Mars building.
And I also visited the U of T, University of Toronto, and I got the opportunity to talk to the president and the vice president of UPS. UPS stands for Undergraduate Pharmacy Society.
Right, thank you. U of T pharmacy students, undergraduate students.
Yeah.
We one day went into the pharmacy building at the University of Toronto.
Yeah,
and
right.
We just went in and spoke to someone saying, you know, and Miho introduced herself, and we talked to the director of the pharmacy program, and she actually linked, Miho sent them an email and introduced herself, and they ended up meeting. You met the president of the undergraduate pharmacy program, and you guys actually had a roundtable discussion and talked about many things.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
She really jumped in.
Yeah, she really jumped in. And she's good. And even
right.
just being able to go into a pharmacy,
yeah.
to any pharmacy in Toronto, and she went in, she had her focus sentences, and went in, and, you know, she made connections, got business cards, and she interviewed them. I mean, that's amazing.
That's
and
brilliant.
I think
wow.
that speaks to what we were talking about before, like language coaching, you know,
yeah.
we're guiding them. And helping them achieve their goals.
Yeah, and I think that I want to say that I think anyone can do this. We know that as language coaches, it's a very it can be very challenging when you're doing this on your own. And I guess that's why we're here. But I think that as much as possible for people to stick to the English that is useful and specifically useful to them. Really goes a long way, and as any coach would, we would have anyone that's listening to this, as well as our students, we would always ask them, you know, what are your goals, and what really do you want to get out of your experience here? Because for many of you, you're only here for how long?
Here
in Toronto.
In Toronto.
Are you going to be here for a short time? How about you? No. Are you going to be here for a short time? Or?
I've been here about 2 months, and I'm planning to stay until next July.
Next July, so about a year or so,
yeah.
right? Yeah, and how about you?
For me, I've been in Toronto for just under 2 months now, but I haven't decided... Yeah, where I go back to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
You
when
might
gonna...
be here indefinitely. Indefinitely,
yeah.
because
yeah.
if you get a job here as a pharmacy assistant,
mm-hmm.
Then you might stay here forever.
Wow, that's
yeah.
exciting.
Right.
I think some of the things that you did is in your interviews with other pharmacists, you even talked
mm-hmm.
about, you know, the transition of how you could become an actual pharmacist
yeah,
here in
yeah,
Toronto.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit more about that. What did you learn? You have to get a license or test or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I transfer my license, yeah, to Canada, I think it's quite tough and time consuming, but yeah, if I have an opportunity, I would like to do that. And yeah, and I also got how to transport.
Right.
Yeah.
In one of the interviews, someone actually walked you through the steps of how you could transfer your license.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And you have all these people you could, you know, fall back on to contact and, you know, you can get back to them by email or text or whatever, or by email, which is great. Nice. What about you now? Why don't you speak to a little bit about, you know, your English language adventure with, you know, being a kindergarten teacher or being in education? Sorry to put you on the spot.
Yeah, it is, really.
Yeah, so this month, maybe you can talk about, in general, your language learning journey since you came to Canada, and specifically recently, the kinds of people you've been able to meet, any connections you've made.
Yeah, I met a kindergarten teacher in here, and I could interview him, so...
That's great.
Yeah, it was super nice, super kind person, and I also asked, I could interview him, and also I asked him to ask his coworker about my survey, and then, yeah, he connected me to other teacher, so if I can talk to kindergarten teachers in here, it would be really helpful for me in the future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you, what's the reason why you want to talk with other kindergarten teachers? I mean, it might be obvious on the surface, but maybe you can elaborate what your goals are for doing that. So as you mentioned before, you're a kindergarten teacher, right? And you're interested in what? You're interested in the...
Different education differences between Japan and Canada. Yeah, I think it's quite different because...
Yeah, you expect it to be quite different because of the culture, yeah.
Was there something that kind of stands out in terms of differences from back in Japan to here? That you've heard or that you've noticed that you, part of your interview that you got?
The big difference? It's hard.
I know.
It's totally different because...
Yeah, if you could choose one thing, what would be the biggest difference?
It's culture. Japanese are so hard to open up.
It's difficult to open up.
It's difficult to open up, so
they tend to hold back.
Yeah, they tend to hold back. They try to be same with other people.
They kind of try to blend in, right?
From when they're kids, even they're kids, they try to be same with other kids, other friends. So I think it's, I mean, to be honest, I don't like that. People are different. So, I mean, I didn't say everyone needs to be, Japanese think that everyone needs to be same, but still, we find comfortable when they find, same opinion, same feeling with others.
Right.
Japanese people feel relaxed or they feel comfortable
mm-hmm.
when they realize that they're the same or they have the same
mm-hmm.
feelings as others.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right?
It is true, but people should be different.
Yeah.
So maybe standing out sometimes is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you think
it's
that maybe the kindergarten program in Japan and versus here in
mm-hmm.
in the West,
mm-hmm.
They are fundamentally different because of this cultural difference.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, thank you for sharing that. That's great. So yeah, definitely lots of challenges that you guys have overcome.
Yeah.
A lot of things that you've done just in, you know, in the span of 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we really thank you guys for coming on the show today for us
this
to put you on
the
spot.
Challenge.
This is the ultimate on the spot challenge, I guess.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it would be difficult for any ESL student to come on a show and do this. I know James has had a few people in the past. I believe some of his former students come on the show and share their updates and what's going on with them. And we thank you guys for teaching a few idioms and
mm-hmm.
for not holding back. And I'm sure we'll get back to this at some point in the future. And we wish you all the best.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And for those students who are listening, remember our advice, actually the advice of the students that we have here is to get out and use your English as much
mm-hmm.
as possible. Talk as much as you can.
Yeah.
And so just get out there and use your English as much as possible.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
If you think about how many strangers you guys have spoken to in the last 8 weeks, like Nami said, too many to count.
Yeah.
But it's through all of those experiences, I guess, that you guys have developed confidence to be able to
mm-hmm.
come on the show, meet all of these pharmacists, interview another kindergarten teacher, and I guess in the end, having fun with the language, right?
A lot, yes.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
so important. And kind of that's the whole point, is to be yourself, to learn the English that's useful
mm-hmm.
for you, because ultimately it's your story while you're here
yeah.
for that possibly short amount of time that you have here, but anywhere you are, right, to paint your picture
right.
with English.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank
yeah.
you, ladies. I appreciate
cool.
your time.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you so
much. Okay. See you guys later.
Bye.
Have you subscribed to James's newsletter? When you subscribe, you will receive a free Study It ESL textbook. Visit www.thejamesriceshow.com for more information and join today.
And we're back. This has been so much fun, Luke, to be on the James Rice Show, being
oh,
able
it's
to
been
host
a pleasure.
It with you. And
looking forward to the opportunity to meet James Rice in person in the future. I know that Anish, of course, this is not your first rodeo, as they say. You've been on the show a few times, and I just want to say thank you to James Rice for creating this podcast in the first place and bringing all these amazing people together,
students,
over 1,000
educators all over the world.
All over the world, yeah.
And so to kind of wrap up here, we talked about what it means to be a language coach as opposed to a traditional language teacher in a classroom. We learned some useful idioms. Thank
yeah.
you, Nami and Miho.
Mm-hmm.
Yay, that was fun.
yeah.
With the
yeah.
word back, that was good. and we talked a little bit about some of your challenges prior to joining on-the-spot language and
mm-hmm.
also how you overcame those and how on-the-spot language helped customize the program for you to help you achieve your goals,
mm-hmm.
Whether it be in education or meeting lots of pharmacists in Toronto.
Yeah.
And, you know, on-the-spot language really is about ESL disruption or ELL, English Language Learning Disruption. We really want to encourage other educators, if you're interested in on-the-spot language or becoming an on-the-spot language coach, or even possibly starting an on-the-spot language in your city,
mm-hmm.
please go to onthespotlanguage.com. Check us out. Send us an email. Also on Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. We strongly believe in language immersion. You know, not just sitting down in a classroom all day, but really making the city and your environment
mm-hmm.
your classroom.
Absolutely.
And Anything else you'd like to add to that, Luke?
Yeah, I mean, I think that both Miho and Nami would agree that there's a reason why you guys decided to come here to Toronto or to come to Canada or to go abroad. You're not alone. Everywhere, in many countries all over the world, there are international students like yourself. And I think the reason why you decided to come here is because you intuitively knew that that it's the best way to learn a language is really to be connected and to be surrounded by it. So yeah, it's not just about being in a classroom, and it's about connecting with people around you.
I think we're very appreciative, of course, of James Rice for having us on the show here, but we're appreciative of all the people who have given their time. Torontonians and Canadians and even visitors from other countries who have given their time to speak with our on-the-spot language students, our on-the-spotters. Any other appreciative or notes or anyone that else that you're appreciative to that you'd like to say thank you to?
Miho.
Who else would you like to say thank you to? Miho,
thank
Nami?
Thank you to everyone who helped us in town.
Okay,
yeah.
Good, Nami, yeah.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, of course I'd like to say thank you. These two of great coaches.
Coaches.
Yeah. Okay. And also I'd like to thank you to everyone that helped me in the town in Toronto.
Sure. I think it's also important that you guys give a shout out to your agency.
Oh,
yeah.
Who's also giving you guys a lot of support.
Yeah,
definitely Mari Haruno Baker at JP Canada.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Arigato gozaimashita.
Arigato
gozaimashita. Because it really is a team effort when students come here, and it's about working as a team together to give you the best support you can. And definitely JP Canada and Mari Haruno Baker at who manages the Toronto office has been a big support to you guys and with us as well. So we're very appreciative of them. And let's leave everyone on a high note here. So let's leave with a joke or a famous quote. I like to always say, a stranger is just a friend you haven't met yet. And a lot of people say that. I like that. Because we talk to strangers all day. And not every stranger is the...
Not every stranger is going to be your friend.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
But
yeah, I got many contact information, when I talked to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great.
Yeah.
Great, so how about leaving us with a joke? Okay.
Guys.
Miho, leave us with a joke. Go ahead.
What?
Okay. So, I have one Toronto joke.
A Toronto joke. Very nice. Okay.
Okay. Why did a boy climb the tree with a hockey stick?
Why did the boy climb the tree with a hockey stick?
I don't know why. To play with the maple leaves.
Oh, nice. To play with the maple leaves. Yes, Toronto's hockey team. Not maple leaves. The Toronto maple leaves. Not the maple leaves. The maple leaves.
Yes,
excellent.
That's a good
Thank
icebreaker.
Thank you so much. Okay, this is Anish Day from On the Spot Language and...
Luke Hobbs, also from On the Spot Language.
And...
Nami.
From
On the Spotter.
On the Spotter City. No, where in Japan are you from?
I'm from Chiba.
Chiba, okay. And...
Miho.
From Kobe.
Kobe, nice. Chiba and Kobe. All right, this is... On the Spot Language signing off. See you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to The James Rice Show. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter and send us your questions or comments at www.thejamesriceshow.com.